Okay. Are we ready?
Hi, Jeremy.
First, I need all of you DNOW students to stand up. And kind of turn and face your parents and... Okay, wait, no, listen up. Listen. This is really important to me. I was a youth pastor for 16 years. Out there, if you listen to the church, they will tell you this is tomorrow's church. No. I disagree. This is the church. This is your church of today. This is Christ bearers. These are disciples of Christ. These are your leaders. Embrace them. They believe in Jesus. You believe in them. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example of the believers in everything you do. Sit down. All right. You are dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. That was not in my notes, but I believe in these kids. I believe in you guys. I'm your friend on Facebook. I will creep you. If I see anything inappropriate, I will flag it, and I will tell JB. All right, we only have 21 minutes till children's ministry lets out. Like I said, I've been a youth pastor for 16 years. I was a senior pastor for 3.5, helped restart a church in Michigan, and now I've been at Roxbury for 3.5 years. Love Roxbury. Get out there. Come in the spring. Walk around. You will find God hanging out at Roxbury. People drive onto the campground, come into the office, and they say, whoa, we feel God's spirit here. It's because we have prayer teams that pray for us. It's an amazing place. If you've never been there, it's out towards Orristown, out towards exit 201 on the turnpike. I can't tell you how to get there. Just go that way. Go up 997, where it ends at Roxbury, that's where we are. I know your church will talk to, your pastors will talk to you about camp meeting. That's in August. 1,000 to 1,300 people are there for 10 days. Amazing. This weekend, we have talked from one verse, half of one verse, Mark 8:34, the end of the verse. Jesus had called people together, and this is what he said. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself.
Take up your cross and follow me.
I know you think they have it memorized, but they're reading it, right? But no, this is what Jesus said. We have worked and reworked and reworked the phrases of this verse. A few weeks ago, when JB said, this is our theme verse, I said, okay, I'm going to teach from it. There's four things I want us to know from this verse. One, what do you want? What do you want? Why are you here? Why are you here? Some of you are here because mom made you come. Some of you are here because somebody's been inviting you and said, man, I just want to get them off my back. So I'm going to go to church. Some of you are here because you're broken. You're broken. We saw that this morning. You responded in an amazing way because you're broken on the inside. I shared with early service, I'm broken this morning, and I'm not going to get into that story because we don't have time. Some things happened last night that just broke. So you're here because you just need fixed. But I'm not really wanting to know why you're here. I want to know, what do you want? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple. See, we're really good at being religious, right? We know how to do church. Like I said in the other service, any of you probably could answer the questions and get this little pastor's card that's in my wallet that says I'm a pastor. Because we all know the right answers. Do we want that, or do we want to be a disciple? Dictionary.com says, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. It's exactly what it says. A dictionary says that's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. Do you want, that's what Jesus is saying, do you want to be my disciple? If you do, there's some things you must do. You know, we all want stuff. My drawer is full of iPods. I've got the Nano. I've got the yada, iPhones. We want that stuff, right? We want cars. We want clothes. We want Stuff. What profit would it be if you got all the stuff on your list? Your bills were paid off, your house was paid off, you had the newest car, the best looking husband that did all the dishes and took care of the house and mowed the lawn and it looked, you know. What would happen if you got all that stuff? Would you be happy on the inside? Would that give you purpose? Probably not. Pick out Donald Trump, pick out Steve Jobs, pick out all these men that have billions of dollars. If you watch Shark Tank, those billionaires aren't on there because they don't have any money. They're on there because they have a lot of money and they want more. It doesn't satisfy. Here in Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, if you keep reading down at about verse 35, 36, 37, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world, if you got everything you wanted, but you lost your soul? You see, we want the wrong thing. We think going to church on occasion or whatever it is will satisfy that core want. There's a story in Acts chapter 3. Usually when we in the church preach about this, we preach about Peter and John. Peter and John went to the temple. These are amazing disciples of God. And wait a minute. There's another person in this story. It's the cripple. It's the guy that was broken. It was the guy that was a doormat. He couldn't walk, so they just threw him at the gate of the temple, and his job was to beg. His whole life he had been told, hey, what you need is people's money. What you need is people's pity. What you need is just stuff. And so what was the result of that? He expected stuff. If you read Acts 3, 1 through 10, you will find he looked at Peter and John when they came to the temple, and he expected something from them. Just a side note, mark this down somewhere. What do people in your life expect from you? They know you go to church. They know you're religious. What do they expect from you? But this guy, he was wanting all of the wrong stuff. And when Peter comes up and he's like, hey guys, can you give me money? Can you give me things to satisfy me? They look at him and say, you know what? I don't have any money. Anybody identify with that? But what I have, I give you. What did they give him? Healing. But I say they gave him was an intimate contact with Jesus Christ. Because that's what they had. These guys had given up their careers to follow Jesus. They were fishermen and tax collectors and all this stuff. They gave that up to follow Jesus. And mark this down if you're taking notes. You will have what you want. Because that is what you'll pursue. I don't have $1 million because I haven't pursued $1 million. I don't have a Cadillac because my wife doesn't want one. But I haven't pursued that. You will have what you pursue. Here's the kids laugh at my story, but let me tell you my story because it kind of leads into the next point. When I was in Bible college in Hope Sound, Florida, what am I going to tell about?
My wife.
I drove onto the campus one day, and there's the administration building, and there's a window about that size, and then there's those vertical mini-blind things, you know, that hang on it. And as I drove on campus, I had a friend of mine named Mark in the car with me. I drove up, and I stopped, because through that window, about 15 feet on the other side, okay, now there's a distance there, I saw this angel from heaven. She was like, whoa! The light was shining down. All was good because something inside me wanted that girl. And I said, Mark, go find out who that is. I'm going to marry her. March the 10th, I'll be married 25 years to that girl. I wanted her in a good way. So thank you. I wanted her. That was my desire. And so whenever I found out that was Rhonda, she was from Pittsburgh. So I rescued a Pennsylvania German girl. She makes good pork and sauerkraut every New Year. But anyway, I wanted her. I set my affection on her, and I set out to impress her. Now, we don't need to impress God. We can't. But I quit hanging out with Michelle and Sue and Becky and those other girls. And I started hanging out with Rhonda. I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. If I had a straw in this cup and one of these kids drank out of the straw, I would just give them the cup. Because I won't drink after someone. But I would drink out of that straw if she drank out of it. We'd be sitting there. Here's what we were poor college kids. In our snack bar, for $2, you could get a Coke and 4 deep-fried mozzarella sticks. So that's what we got. She would take a bite, and I would take a bite. We'd drink out of the same cup. See, I wanted a relationship with someone, and I got it. Amazingly, this amazing woman of God said, okay, I do. And I can't wait until the 3rd of March, because we're going to the Caribbean for 10 days on a boat. We're getting out of here. We're going to go celebrate what God's done in our life, and I'm excited about it. But it leads to the next point. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Now, denying yourself is a good thing, a positive thing, okay? And the easiest way to make us think about this is Weight Watchers. Is Weight Watchers denying yourself, is that positive? I can't have that. We don't think of that as positive, right? I mean, I'm trying to get down so I can get in a bathing suit for the... No, I'm really not. I don't care. I'm down 4 ounces this weekend, honestly. I lost 4 ounces this weekend. Woo! But I've had 5 Starbucks this weekend, so that didn't help. But if we want to follow Christ, we must deny ourselves. It's positive. Do you think if I was still hanging out with Becky and Sue and Michelle and whatever the other girl's name was, I forgot... Do you think that Rhonda and I would still be married or would have ever got married at all? No. It was positive. Got 3 great kids. They're 18, 20, and 22 years old. Amazing kids, amazing family. God's done great stuff in my life. But it's because I wanted, first, it goes back. When I was 8 years old, and guys, I didn't tell you this. When I was 8 years old, 2 o'clock in the morning, God was talking to me. I got up and said, Mom, God's talking to me. So she said, well, let's go sit on the couch. So we went out to the living room, sat down on the couch, and she said, what's God saying? I said, he wants me to be a preacher. I have that couch in my bedroom right now. My mom passed away 3 years ago, and that was what I got. That's all I wanted in her whole house was the couch. Because that's where God said, I want you to be a preacher. So I've been chasing after God. I've been denying my own plans. My dad was a business owner. I could have been making $200,000-$400,000 a year. My dad sold his business because all 3 of us boys are preachers. My dad was just a machinist. But they trained us early to want a relationship with God. And so we denied. I mean, shoot, wouldn't it be great to make $300,000 a year? Most of it takes, what, 2, 3, 4 years to get there or more? But who cares? Because I've denied that stuff that would have messed me up, and God's blessed me. I don't have a want in my life. I have a brokenness that God will heal, but I don't have a want. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. It's positive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Don't think like the Gentiles, they're futile. And you can read through that passage. I'm sure your pastor's probably worked through that with you. But read, if you're taking notes, write down, study Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, down through about verse 10 or 15 of chapter 5. Because that whole passage is all about denying yourself. You see, Adam and Eve wanted to be something they were not created to be. God created them perfect and in a relationship with him. But they wanted to be something else. And that something else would not allow them to fulfill their purpose. We all have iPhones, right? Not all of us. We all have phones. I love my iPhone 3. But the other day, this thing said, I don't want to be a phone. I want to be a hammer. Do you think this is an effective hammer? Well, I have a nice piece of oak. It's actually from a tree at Roxbury. And I have a nice little nail. I had some students this week try to come and see if this was an effective hammer. It's not. It's not an effective hammer. It won't drive a nail, and it won't break. I don't know why. We have pounded nails for 2 days with this phone, and there's not even a scratch on the screen. I'm really upset about it. But you know, this phone is supposed to be a phone. Who's a builder in here? Anybody? Any construction guys? Will you take this and just use it all week to build, put trim in the house, and report back to us next week? And give me your hammer. Let me call my wife. See, that's how effective we are if we are outside of God's plan. We were created to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we deny that and we choose the lesser good or not even good. Don't write off God's plan for your life because it's good and perfect and pleasing. It's perfect. What I've done working for, we joke, us pastors jokingly say this, working for pastor's wages for 20 years is more pleasing to me than when I was working in my dad's machine shop. When I was 18 years old, I worked for my dad for a couple of years in that time frame. I was making over $1,500 a week at 18 years old, working about 5 or 6 hours a day. I could have made it in the world standards, but I didn't care because I wouldn't have purpose. I wouldn't be fulfilling what God wanted me to do. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, refrain from satisfying your desires because what you want is what you will pursue. What you want is what you will have. What you want is what you will have. None of you are Major League Baseball players because you didn't want it bad enough. None of you are playing in that stupid game tonight because none of you dedicated yourself because you wanted it. None of you are acting in those great commercials tonight. No. I think the winning commercial, the guy spent like $18 on, and it's like a Dorito commercial. It's like worth millions now. You will have what you want when it comes to your relationship with God. We, as preachers, you as your small group leaders, we can teach you about God all we want. And we can't make you be a follower of Christ. We can't make you a mature believer. Only you can do that. You will have what you want when it comes to your relationship with God. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Now, take up your cross. That's okay. Denying yourself, that's okay. Putting down my plans. Taking up my cross? Our culture doesn't understand the cross today because we don't use the cross as the public execution. They carried all or part of the cross through the city to the place where they were going to be killed at times. Everybody knew what was going on. And for Jesus to say, take up your cross, his culture understood. Well, that was good English. His culture understood that he was saying, are you willing ultimately sacrifice everything for me. That's one of the interpretations of that. There's another one I want to briefly talk about. But who here is willing to say, I'm a Christian, shoot me, but I won't deny my faith? A couple things. One, the disciples said that. Peter said that. Hey, Jesus, I'm willing to die for you. You know what he did later on that day? Denied he even knew Jesus 3 different times. I don't even know who you're talking about. No, I wasn't with him. See, the disciples that walked physically with Jesus, they thought they could do it. But when the rubber hit the road, they all abandoned him. Only a few years later, most of them did lay down their life. They were stoned. They were crucified. They were martyred in some way. So ultimately, when it came time, they could lay down their life. The second interpretation of taking up your cross is one commentary says you torture yourself. Now, nobody here is into torture, but discipline is the way I look at it. I'm a wrestling coach, and I hear there's some good wrestling interest around here. And I'm a referee as well. Wrestlers torture themselves. They discipline themselves to do certain things, to make certain weights, to be stronger than others. And I could talk wrestling the rest of the morning, but I've only got 3 minutes and 29 seconds left. But they torture themselves. They discipline themselves to be the best wrestler. A friend of mine and I took Shippensburg Wrestling three winters ago, Shippensburg Middle Schoolers, terrible team, and we got to the point that we won the Gettysburg Duels that year with 9 other teams there. We slaughtered people that we shouldn't have beat because we tortured our boys. We disciplined them, and they were the best. And they went to some elite tournaments and won some big prizes because they wanted it. Do you want to be a Christ follower? Do you want to be a disciple to the point that you're willing to deny yourself, lay down your life, discipline yourself to get into God's word? Psalm chapter 119 is a great place for you to study if you want to know about desiring to know God and follow him. Because it talks all about, I want to know your precepts. I want to love your law. It says, if a young man wants to keep his way pure, how will he do it? By living according to God's word. Will you discipline yourself to know what this book says? We're lazy Christians. We pay the pastor to tell us what it says, right? What if you only ate the snacks that were back there, and that's all you ate all week? Would you be healthy?
No.
So you're not a healthy Christ follower if you're only listening to your pastor for 30 minutes on Sunday. Will you discipline yourself to be a Christ follower? Students, you've got workbooks. I've challenged you with all this stuff. You've already heard all this stuff. It's going to take weeks and months and years to continue to develop this. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's the message I have to bring now in the next minute and a half. That was just a recap of the weekend. Follow me. What does it mean to follow? How do we follow Jesus? Wouldn't it be great if I just gave you this checklist? Okay, if you do this, you're following Jesus. Who wants a relationship based on a checklist? I told the other service, I have to tell this, because I make fun of my former student. I have a former student of mine who married and divorced within like 6 months because he had a list of 20 things that if she loved him, she would do them. A list of 20 things. Here's the catch. He didn't even give her the list because if she loved him, she would do them. Lasted about 6 months. He wanted a relationship based on, are you fulfilling X, Y, Z, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3? That's not what God wants, guys. God wants intimacy with you. See, my wife and I's relationship's different than you and your relationship with your husband or wife. If you do the same things that I do for my wife, guys, your wife's probably not going to be happy. Because your wife's different than mine. Your relationship with Jesus will look a little different than my relationship with Jesus because your experiences, the place you come from is different. Your challenges are different than mine. See, God doesn't have to help me overcome alcoholism because I can't stand the taste of it. Neither side of my family back for 3 or 4 or 5 generations even socially drink. So alcohol isn't something I'm saying, okay, God, how do we work through this together? I didn't teach my kids to be teetotalers. My kids don't want to hang out with anybody who drinks because they've seen people's lives run by. So we all come from a different perspective. So I can't tell you how to follow Jesus. I can't tell you how to be willing to lay down your life and die for him. All I can say is it's all in how you live. Will you deny yourself? Well, first, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I don't care if it's a phone. You know, I've had a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4. Now I have 5. I want stuff, but that doesn't change my life. I want a deeper intimacy with Jesus. And that drives me to study something different. That drives me to read different books. It drives me to listen to different preachers. How do I follow Jesus? I just day by day. When if I have a challenge, I say, okay, God, we're doing this together. How do you follow Jesus? It's all in this verse. If you want, you've got to develop the want. Then you've got to be willing to deny your plans. Okay, God, I know yours are better. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 down through 5, about 10 or 15 or 20. good passage for you to read about denying yourself, putting off the old, putting on the new. Because it's only a positive thing. When God takes the futility of your thinking and your all of that junk out, he fills you. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. He fills you with goodness, positive things. God's plan for you is always better than your plan for you. You see, we don't control ourselves. There is nobody in here who is self-controlled. You only control who you give control to. God or Satan? One of those two is who is going to direct your life. So my question, as we close, just a statement. What you want is what you will get in your relationship with God. I know I've said that a few times. If that's the only thing you hear, go away from this service. Go away from this weekend, students, with that in your mind. What you want is what you will get in your relationship with God. What you want is what you get. Next year at DNOW, if you're exactly where you are in your relationship with Jesus, that means you didn't want to go deeper. Everyone else, I'm talking to you. If next Sunday you're exactly where you are in your relationship with Jesus, it's probably because you didn't want to go deeper this week. If I don't want to get to know my wife any better this week, then we're just going to kind of start going downhill. But we've got to spend time together. I wish I could tell you about my box of letters that I still have from 27 years ago when I went to New Guinea for 6 weeks. My wife wrote me a letter for every day I was gone, and then two on my birthday. When I see that box, I open it, and I read what she wrote me when I was 19 years old. I want to get in there and know my wife. Do you want to know what's in here? Your pastors can't teach it all to you. You've got to want it. What do you want? If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross. And maybe another way to say it is, do life with me. Do life with him. What do you want? What will you give up? And will you follow him out there, not just in here? It's easy, students. It's safe this weekend. There hasn't been anybody in here saying, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're raising your hands in worship. Why are you dancing to that music? When you go to school this week, will you bow your head at lunch and pray for your food in front of all of your friends? I told you about a student of mine that every morning at 5 minutes before the bell, he started a prayer meeting in the hall. Is any of you willing to gather two or three of your Christian friends and sit on the floor 5 minutes before the bell out in front of your other friends and pray that God would bless your school? Are you willing? I don't know what God's calling you to. It's safe here. Guys, your jobs, it's safe here. It's not safe out there. But will you develop such a want that it's just natural for you to live it out there just like it is in here. Thank you again for allowing me to speak into your students, JB and Pastor. Thank you. I love your church. I'm planting a church right now, so I'm tied up on Sunday mornings, but you will probably see me just slip in someday and listen and worship. I love your spirit. Carry on. Change your community. That's what God's calling you to.